Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Are any of you phone people? You're the type who likes to get phone calls, likes to be on the phone? Some of you, yeah? I am not that type. I think the world would be a better place if we got rid of all the phones. And there are so many things that go wrong with phone calls, I think. Like, have you ever gotten this call? You answer, you're like, hello? And the person says, hey. And you're like, hey. And then they start talking, but you have no idea who it is, right? And you're like becoming Sherlock Holmes, trying to, you know, decipher the clues to figure out who am I talking to. They're like, blah, 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 Sunday. And you're like, they said Sunday. Maybe it's somebody from church. I'm not sure. And right? Like, not cool. The other phone call you get is when, I hate this, is when you say hello, and the person on the other line says, hey, who is this? Have you ever had that one? You're like, no, you called me. I ask you who you are. You don't ask me who this is. Who this is who this is. Who are you? Right? The other call that's great is when somebody wakes you up, and so you're asleep, and the phone's ringing, and you pull one of these, you're like, and then you're not able to fully wake yourself up, so you're like, hello? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, were you sleeping? And you can never just say, yes, I was sleeping, right? You have to lie and say, no, I wasn't sleeping. Who sleeps at 3:30 in the morning? Not sleeping, no, not sleeping. Have you ever gotten a really big phone call? Like a big one, like maybe you woke up that morning, it's going to be an ordinary day, and then the phone rang, and what happened in that phone call, what the person said on the other end of the line, changed your life forever. You're getting a really big phone call? Well, that's exactly what happened and what changed the life of a guy named Abraham. Today we're starting a brand new series called A Life Worth Watching. And you probably started to get the idea by now, but we're going to think about this fact that a lot of us spend a lot of our lives looking at the lives of other people. You know, it may be that we watch shows like TMZ or E! True Hollywood Stories or VH1 Behind the Music. It may be that we read People or Us Weekly or National Enquirer. We may get on the internet and check out blogs of other people, or we may get tweets on our phones from celebrities and athletes. But we spend a lot of our lives watching the lives of other people. And I wonder if maybe the reason is because our lives aren't interesting enough to hold our attention. Maybe a little difficult to admit, but is it possible that we are so obsessed with other people because our lives just aren't that interesting? And so it's almost like we have to live vicariously through someone else. Well, in this series, we're going to talk about transitioning from living a life of watching others to living a life worth watching, from kind of being like life voyeurs to being life voyagers. And the way you do that, the way you live the kind of life that holds your interest is, believe it or not, through living a life of faith. A life of faith is the only life that really gives you the adventure that you're looking for and that allows you to be interested in your own life and escape this idea, this prison where we have to live vicariously through someone else. And so we're going to learn that in this series by looking at the life of a guy named Abraham in the Bible. Abraham lived kind of a noteworthy life. I mean, like, for instance, we're still talking about him today, and he lived thousands and thousands of years ago. If you asked a Christian person, who is the father of your faith? He would say, Abraham. If you asked a Jewish person, who's the father of your faith? Abraham. If you asked a Muslim, who's the father of your faith? Abraham. It's kind of a big deal. And he lived an adventurous life. I mean, his life was amazing. And the reason is because he lived a life of faith. And it all started one day when he got this life-changing call. We're going to look at it in a second, but basically what happens is this. Abraham wakes up, it's an ordinary day, but during the day, the phone rings, and it turns out that it's God. And God says to Abraham, I want you to go. I want you to leave your home, leave your homeland, and I want you to go. And you don't get to know yet where you're going, but I'll make that clear later. I want you to bring your family, and I just want you to leave. And at that point, he just has a wife. And so God says, listen, if you go, I will give you a child, and I will give you many descendants. And your people will be my people. I will be your God. I will bless you, but I need you to go. And that was the call that changed Abraham's life forever and turned his life into an amazing adventure that we still talk about today. And it was truly a life worth watching. And so let's look at that original call. We're going to be in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. If you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't, we'll put the verses on the screen so you're set. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free. There's no catch, no cost. Back at the Velcro Bar, which is a place where you can get your questions answered, you can sign up for stuff, and you can get a Bible. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Ready? Here's what it says. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, okay, it says Abram, Abram is Abraham, and we'll talk later about what happens with that, but same guy, Abram, at this point he's Abram, not Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And so this is kind of the initial scene from Abraham's life. In the weeks to come, the next 3 weeks of the series, we're going to look at some other scenes and some other parts of Abraham's faith adventure with God. But today I want to talk about what we can learn from this original call that God gives Abraham. All right? And so I guess the first thing we learn is that God calls. That God calls. Now, we're going to see some unique things about Abraham and his life's journey, but this is not one of them. This is something that happens with every person. God calls. God called Abraham, God has called me, and God is calling you. God's calling you. Now, how God calls, it's different. It can be different. Like, it may not be this audible, big, booming voice from the sky that I guess it was with Abraham. I mean, God may call you. He may speak to you very quietly deep inside of you, but you know. You know? God may speak to you through your conscience, through this feeling of, man, I need to do this or I shouldn't do that. God may speak to you through a friend in a challenging conversation that you have, and that may be God calling you through that friend. God may speak to you through a sermon, a message you hear here at Verve, and God just kind of speaks to you, and you're like, man, that was for me. I know it was for me. God may speak to you through something you read, and it almost like comes off the page, and you're like, that's my life. I need to do that, and that very well might be God calling. God calls everyone. The question isn't whether or not God will call you or has called you. The question is, will you pick up the phone? Will you pick up the phone? You know, there was a day in our world, now I'm old enough, I remember this, when if your phone rang, you answered it. Anyone else old enough to remember those days, right? It was like, the reason you had a phone is so that other people could get a hold of you. And so if your phone rang, it was like, whoop-de-doo, the phone is serving its purpose. Someone wants to talk to me, and I will therefore answer the phone. Not so much today, right? Today, you know, phones ring in and everybody's just ignoring it and we'll just let it ring, right? We don't answer the phone. There was a time when answering machines roamed the earth. Some of you may be old enough to remember this. And there would be a lot of people who would do this thing where they would screen people's calls. The way they would do it is when the beep came and the person started talking, you could hear their voice through this ancient answering machine thing, and then you could decide if you wanted to talk to them. Did you have any friends who, like, you'd wait for the beep, and then you'd be like, it's me, and then they would answer the phone and be like, hey, and you're like, hey, and then every once in a while you'd call them, and you'd be like, it's me, and they wouldn't answer, and you'd be like, oh, you better not be home. You better not be screening me out, right? Like, because people, you know, didn't stop answering their phones, because now they can screen their calls, and today we live with this thing called caller ID, which I think probably originally started so that you didn't have to talk to telemarketers, but it's gone way past that, because now you don't have to talk to anyone that you don't want to talk to, right? You don't have to answer the phone unless it's someone that you want to answer the phone and talk to. But here's the deal. I think a lot of us do this with God. I think a lot of us have this deal where we don't necessarily answer the phone when it's God calling, because we have this caller ID kind of thing, and we know, you know, we can kind of see the God come up on the caller ID. You know, we're hearing a song, we're hearing a message, somebody's talking to us, or just deep in our heart, something happens, we're like, oh. And you know, it's like caller ID says, this is God, like this is something you need to do. And it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to screen that call. I'm not going to answer that one because that's not something I want to talk about right now, right? God calls. He's calling you. The only question is, will you pick up the phone? And I wonder how God's calling you right now, like lately, what God has been calling you to. Maybe God has been calling you to become a Christian. You've been coming here to Verve for a while, and the truth is, you believe this stuff. You've gotten to a point where you believe this stuff we talk about is true. And you know that God is calling you into a relationship with him, that he's asking you to become a follower of his son, Jesus. But you just haven't pulled the trigger yet. We're having baptisms today. After our second service, we've got like 10 or so people are getting baptized. And you've heard us talk about that the last few weeks. Baptism is when a person begins a new relationship with God. It's what you do to start that relationship with God. And you've heard us talking about it, and you almost said yes. You almost signed that paper, but you just didn't do it. Because God is calling. You just kind of been screening his call. It could be that God's been calling you to serve, to volunteer on a team here at Verve, and he's saying, man, I made you to be a blessing to other people, not just for me to bless you, and I want you to make a difference with your life, and you've been thinking about it, but you just haven't quite done it because, honestly, you're kind of screening God's calls. You know, it might be that God's been calling you to be faithful and obey him with your cash, with your money, and God's asked you to be generous, and you know God's asking you that, but it's like, I'm not going to answer that one. Maybe God's been calling you to break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend because you know that it's just dragging you down, and you're not able to really live for God because of this relationship you're in, and you're just not answering that call. It might be that God's calling you to stop doing something that you know you need to stop doing. You've known for a long time that you need to stop doing this something that you keep on doing. And God's asking you, he's challenging you, he's encouraging you, he's trying to inspire you to stop doing it. But you won't stop doing it and you just let the phone keep ringing. And I wonder if it's even possible that right now, because of something I just brought up, your heart is pounding a little bit. Because you know, I'm talking to you, right? You know God has been calling me about exactly what you're talking about. You know what God's been calling you about, and your heart is pounding. Let me tell you, that heart pounding inside of you, that's the phone ringing. That's the phone ringing. God's calling you, and he's asking you to pick up the phone and to answer his call. He calls all of us. The only question is, will you answer? You know, probably some of you are thinking, you know, that sounds good, Vince, but you don't understand. What God is calling me to is really difficult. Like, it's not an easy thing, you know. If it was easy, I'd do it, but it's really difficult. And you know what I would tell you about that? You're probably right. You're probably right. I don't know if we have any Bible scholars in the room, somebody who's, like, read the whole Bible and kind of knows the thing. But if so, I would ask you a little Bible trivia question. Here it is. How many times, or you can just guess if you're not quite a Bible scholar yet, how many times in the entire Bible does God call someone to an easy task? The answer is zero. It never happens. There's never a time in the Bible where God calls somebody and they're like, oh yeah, no problem, yeah, I can do that. That's easy. Never happens. Every time God calls someone, they're like, Always. You know why? Because if it's easy, you don't need God, right? If it's easy, you don't have to rely on God. You don't need faith in God. But God's trying to have us live this life where we're in this like interdependence with him, and we're in a partnership. We're living life in a relationship with him, and we need to need him. So he calls us to difficult things. And so your heart pounding, if you're like, but it's too hard, yeah, that's God. He's calling. He calls all of us. The question is, will you answer the phone? And the problem is, if you don't, you will miss out on the adventure that God has for your life, which is what most people do. I mean, just honestly, it's not probably the nice thing to say. Maybe it's not politically correct. Most people miss out on the adventure of their lives. They just die someday. You don't want to miss out on the adventure. You don't want to keep living a life where you're watching the lives of others. You want to live a life worth watching, a life that people talk about long in the future. Right? But you have to answer the call. Will you pick up the phone? The second thing I learned from this story is that God's call always includes a promise. God's call always includes a promise. With Abraham, he says, listen, I want you to go. You have to leave everything and go. But here's the deal. As you go, if you obey me, if you answer the call, I will give you a child. Abraham is 75 years old when he hears God's call. His whole life, he's wanted a child, a family. Okay? He's 75, no child. God says, in your old age, you go, I will give you a child. In fact, I will give you many descendants. They will become a nation of people. They will be my people. I will give you a land that will be your own. God calls Abraham, but he includes a promise in the call, which is kind of cool, right? I mean, we should obey God regardless. If God asks you to do something, you should be aware of the fact that, like, okay, God is God, I'm not. God is God, I'm not. God is God, I'm not. And so if he asks me to do something, I should probably just do it. I mean, he's God, I'm not, right? But it's kind of cool that God says, hey, I'm God, you're not, you should disobey me regardless. But because I love you, because I'm a friend, because I want to parent you, I'll include a promise in your call. And so, listen, however God is calling you, you need to know that there is a promise with that call, right? And so let's say God is calling you to become a Christian. Well, God makes a promise to you. If you do this, if you take that step, I will give you real and eternal life. It's a good promise. If God is calling you to serve here at Verve, to take on a volunteer position, God has made a promise to you in the Bible that he has given you gifts to use, abilities that will allow you to really make an impact for other people and in this church and in this community for him. And so your life will actually matter. Pretty good promise. If God is calling you to give and start being generous with your money, well, God gives you a promise. Check out what God promises actually in the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. He says, bring the whole tithe. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. It's a pretty good promise. He says, be generous with your money and I will be generous back with you. If God is calling you to break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, because that's what you need to do, he makes a promise to you, man, I will be with you. You will not be alone. And I'll give you the strength to do what you need to do. If God's calling you to stop doing that thing that you need to stop doing and you've known it for a long time, but you just don't have the strength, God promises, I will give you the strength and I will bring healing from all the scars that you have because of this thing you've been doing. And I will lead you towards a healthy, whole life. God calls, and God's call always includes a promise. It always includes a promise. The other thing I learned in this story is that it takes faith to respond to God's call. It takes faith to respond to God's call, right? This gets back to the idea that God never calls anyone to an easy task. If he did, that would not require faith, right? But what God is after in your life, whether you realize this or not, what God wants to kind of form in your life is faith. The Bible says repeatedly, what God is looking for is faith. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And so God wants to give you a challenging call, a challenging assignment, because that will take faith. That will take faith. You know, It's like God. Here's what God's not looking for. Like it's not this kind of deal where, like, you're walking down the road and then all of a sudden God speaks and says, Vince. And you're like, yeah? And he says, there's a quarter on the sidewalk in front of you. Pick up that quarter and put it in your pocket. If you do, you'll have 25 more cents than you do now. It might help you buy something later. And you're like, okay, God, I'll do it. There is a quarter. Oh, that's odd. Right? That doesn't take faith to pick up a quarter, right? God's looking for something that you'll be like, wow, I can't do this without you, God. You need to have faith, right? And so, like, with Abraham, think about this story. God says, I want you to leave everything you've ever known and go. What if God called you to that? What would it look like if God called you in that kind of way? Like if God said, you're sitting, I don't know, in your living room one day, and God says to you,
leave this house.
And you're like, is that like a poltergeist? And God's like,
no, it's me. It's God.
And you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry. It was for a minute, it felt like a scary movie. Like, I was thinking like Amityville Horror or something. Sorry about that. Now, what were you saying? And God says,
I told you to go.
Okay, but where am I going?
You don't get to know that. You just need to go.
But how will I know? Like when I get there, is there going to be like a welcome sign or a hotel or something?
Now you're starting to annoy me. I said go.
All right, but this might be a little weird, but are you going to pay like the gas money, like reimburse me or something? Because I don't know if you've seen the price of gas recently, but this could be a very expensive trip.
Okay, fine. I'll ask someone else to go.
That's not funny. That's funny. I'm like waiting for your laugh. Okay. But that's not what Abraham said, is it? Right? God said,
go.
Abraham said, all right, I'm gone. Right? And that took faith. It wasn't easy to go without knowing where you're going. It wasn't easy to leave everything he had ever known. But God wanted him to need faith. And God wants the same for you. God wants to form faith in you. And so he's going to call you to things that will require faith. And it won't be easy, right? But you have this thing going for you. The thing is that God promises you with the call. There's a promise. And he promises he will be with you, that he will reward you for obeying. God says, I will be your reward for obeying. Because when you go and you start living by faith, you will know what it means to radically rely on me and to have this relationship that is authentic and real. And every day you need me. And it will be the adventure of your life. And you will go. You will transition from living a life where you're like, what's everybody else doing today? To living a life where you're like, I can't even keep up with what's going on in my life. It's such an adventure. And other people will want to watch you. But it only happens when you answer the call. There's a promise with the call. And it takes faith to respond to God's call. Here's what else I learned in this story. When you respond to the call, it's a cool thing. There's a promise. You get an adventure. Like life starts really living, you know. But it might be embarrassing. It also might be embarrassing. And maybe that's what's been holding some of you back from like answering the call. You're like, be a little embarrassing. It will be. You're probably right. It probably will. Like, here's a really fascinating part of Abraham's story. Here's the deal. Abraham is actually named Abram, okay? That's his name, Abram. He's 75 years old, does not have a kid. God says, go, and I will give you a child. Abram goes, and 24 years pass. He's now 99 years old and still childless, okay? God has not yet given him a child. He has not yet kind of given him the promise. He hasn't seen it, okay? He's still childless. He's 99 now, okay? I mean, he is about to be honored by Willard Scott on the Today Show for his 100th birthday with a Smucker's jelly. He's 99, all right? So then God speaks to him again, and he says this. He says, Abraham, it's still going to happen. Like, keep the faith. I am going to give you a child. Go, keep the faith, child, all right? And he says, hey, by the way, Abram, from now on, you have a new name. It's Abraham. Say, so what? The name Abraham means father of many. Abraham means father of many. Can you picture Abram going back to his friends? And his friends are like, hey, what's up, Abram? And he's like, hey. And they're like, you talking to God again? Where did he tell you to go this time? And he's like, yeah, that's funny. Hey, listen, guys, from now on, it's not Abram, Abraham. Kind of name change. I'm Abraham from now on. And his friends are like, your name is Abraham, right? Because Abraham means father of many, and you are the father of nothing. But you want us to call you Abraham. Abraham. And the next time he walks up, they're like, hey, Abram. He goes, yeah, no, it's still Abraham. They're like, yeah, you're still the father of none. It had to be embarrassing, right? How embarrassing would it be to go and tell everybody, from now on, call me father of many. This childless old man. Embarrassing. And listen, if you follow God's call, he will give you an adventure. You will be so glad you did. And you also probably will be a little embarrassed from time to time. You will. Like, I don't know. Maybe, like, you start, you know, you give your life to Christ. You start living this life of faith. And so you say to your family, hey, we should probably, like, pray before meals. I mean, that's what I've seen, like, on TV. Like, the Christian families, like, they thank God for their food. Let's start doing that. That might be good. And so you start doing that. But then you go out to a restaurant, and your little one says, hey, shouldn't we pray? And you're like, with all these people around, I wasn't thinking that. Oh, that's a little, it's a little embarrassing, right? Or you realize, man, if I'm going to start like this relationship with God, I should probably let other people in on it. Like, they need God too. And so you start like just trying to have some conversations with people at work in the neighborhood where you mention your faith, you mention Jesus, you invite them to church, and you get some like weird looks, right? You get some people who are like, really? You're like in the church now? A little embarrassing. Or maybe maybe when you go out to a party and you found out, like, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink, but it does say not to get drunk. And so you've decided, well, I'm not going to get drunk anymore. And so you're at a party, and you're, like, drinking a Coke, and your friends are like, hey, what are you drinking there, a Coke? And you're like, yeah, but I don't use any ice. This is straight, man. How you like me now, right? And you're just like, wow, this is a little embarrassing. It's different. It's a little embarrassing, right? Well, guess what? That probably means that you're living a life of faith. It's an adventure. It's a life worth watching. And it's a little embarrassing at times. That's okay. It was for Abraham. The next thing I learned from Abraham is that we will experience doubts along the way. Okay? You say yes. You say, all right, I'm going to do it. And you answer the call. And you're just like, it's going to be awesome from now on. But what happens actually is throughout the journey, there are going to be moments where you're like, what am I doing? I really believe this stuff. Why did I say yes? There's going to be doubts along the way. This happens to Abraham over and over and over again. Throughout his story, we see him going, wait a second. Am I stupid? Why did I leave? And like, why am I believing that God's going to give me a son? Because it's been 20-some years, and I still don't. Maybe I didn't hear God right. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe God's a liar. Maybe everybody who laughed at me, they're right and I'm wrong. And so over and over, Abraham experienced doubts along the way. Let's look at one of those times. Abraham has some doubts. And in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, it says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer, which is an awesome name, by the way, of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. You see, this is several chapters later, right? Years later, and Abraham is just kind of wrestling with, what's happened? Because I did my end of the bargain, but it doesn't seem like you have. And the future is still not coming clear for me. I just don't get it. Abraham has faith, but he still doubts. Do you want to know what I call that? Normal. That it's a theological term. You can look it up. It's normal. Because here's the deal for you. You will experience the same thing. If you have faith, you also have doubts. You will have both. I want to share a couple quotes with you. There's an author. He's a real brilliant kind of guy. His name is Frederick Buechner. And check out what he says. He says, whether your faith is that there is a God or that there is not a God, if you don't have any doubts, you're either kidding yourself or asleep. And so he's saying it's normal to have doubts. If you believe there's no God, there's got to be some times where you're like, how could there be all this without God? And if your faith is that there is a God, there's going to be times where you're like, but if there's a God, then why? You know, if I'm following God and I'm being obedient to him, then why is this happening? It's natural. But he goes on to say this. He says, doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep you awake and moving. And so what he's saying is, he's saying it's beyond natural to have doubts. It's good to have doubts. Doubts aren't like the moments where it's like, oh no, I'm doubting. What do I do now? I'm shrinking. Doubts are a good moment in your life, he's saying, because it kind of pushes you forward in your faith. There's another author, he's from like a long time ago, and he was like a writer, poet kind of guy, John Donne. Any of you remember him from English class? Anyone ever go to school? Any educated people here? All right, John Donne says this. He says, to come to a doubt is the voice of God in our conscience. Would you know the truth? Doubt, and then you will inquire. Here's what he's saying. When we have doubts, what a lot of people, a lot of Christians think is, oh no, this is like, you know, like the devil, and he's whispering in my ear, trying to get me to deny my faith and trying to lead me away from God. this guy, John Donne, who was a believer in God, he says, what if the doubts are whisperings in your head, your ear from God? What if it's God trying to get you to think more, to study harder, to continue your research so that you'll have a stronger, deeper, firmer foundation for your faith so that you will not be shaken, you know, when life hits you? Doubts are not a bad thing. They're natural. They're normal. Look it up. Normal. And they are a good thing that will help you to grow. All right? If you take those doubts and you're honest about them, some people stuff them down, that's not good. If you're honest about your doubts and you take them to God and you say, God, I'm wrestling with this. Because here's what happens. When you take your doubts and you're honest with God and you share them with him, he will, the last thing I learned from Abraham's story is that God will reaffirm his call and especially his promise. So remember we just looked at Genesis 15, 1 through 3? And Abram's like, God, what's the deal? I'm still childless. Like, this person that's not even in my family is going to be my heir. This is ridiculous. You haven't really given me what you said you were going to give me. Verse 4 through 6 says, then the same passage. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside. God leads him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Look at verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he, that's God, credited it to him as righteousness. Righteous means to be right with God. If you're righteous, somebody who has righteousness, it means that God is approving of you. And so what happens here is that Abram gets really honest and he expresses his doubt to God. And what God does is he does not say, how dare you? I am God and you are doubting me. God does not say, seriously? Like, after all I've done for you? Nope, what God says is, all right, I understand. Listen. Remember that promise I made you way back when? I know hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. You are going to have a child from your own body, from your marriage. And listen, let's go outside. You're not just going to have a child. You're going to have descendants like the stars in the sky. Don't give up. Do not give up on me yet. Stick with your faith. God reaffirms his call and reaffirms his promise. And it says, Abram believed, and God credited it to him as righteousness. And so it's like Abraham said, all right, God, I'm with you. And it was like God got out of his throne in heaven and went, yes! Like, are you guys looking at this? Look at this guy! This is what I'm looking for! Yes! Look at him! Look at him! He has not given up on his faith. He is keeping his faith. He has doubts, but he brought them to me, and I told him, I reaffirmed my commitment to him, and he believes. That's what I'm looking for. And listen, that is what God's looking for from you. And God will do the same with you. When you have doubts and you start to wonder, like, what did I do? Like, why did I give my life to Jesus? Or why did I start volunteering? Or why am I telling my friends to come to church? And sometimes I don't even feel like going. Or whatever it is, why am I giving money? Why did I break up with her? You know, whatever it is that God calls you to do, when you start to have those doubts, if you bring them to God, he will reaffirm his promise to you. And he will call you again. And what he's looking for you in you is faith. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Philip Yancey, and he writes this. He says, doubt always, always coexists with faith. For in the presence of certainty, who would need faith at all? And then he says, I remain a Christian today due to my doubts. He's saying, doubt is not a bad thing. It's normal. It's actually a good thing. Because it requires you to have faith and it pushes you on to ask more questions, do more research, and come to a firmer foundation for your faith. All right. Well, listen, there's lots more of Abraham's story to come. Like, in the coming weeks, it's going to get crazy. I will warn you. I mean, there is, like, war. mercenaries, wife swapping, sex. Like, it's going to be quite a story, a little PG-13 in here, but it's an adventure of a story. And Abraham, here's the conclusion I guarantee. You stick with us for the next 3 weeks. At the end of this series, you're going to come to this conclusion. Wow. Abraham lived an amazing life. He lived a life of faith, and so he had an adventure with God. He lived a life worth watching and worth us talking about for 4 weeks, like thousands of years later. That's the conclusion you'll come to. Here's the question you're going to have to wrestle with for the next few weeks. Do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want to live the adventure of living a life of faith? Do you want to make the transition from being a life voyeur to being a life voyager? Because now, maybe not when you came in, but now you know how it begins. And you know that it's available to you. It is as close as your beating heart. God's calling. The question is, will you answer the call? Let's pray. God, here's my fear. My fear is that a lot of us in this room, and I would throw myself in that category, have been screening your calls. There are things you've been calling us to. We know that you're calling us. We know it's you. We know we need to do it. And we've just let the phone keep ringing because we know it's you. And we know we need to do it. And so we just don't. God, no one ever lives the life they want to live by ignoring the decisions they need to make. We decide our way into the right life. God, you have given us free will. We don't have to answer the phone. We can do whatever we want with our lives. But my prayer for me and for every person in this room is that we will pick up the phone. We will listen carefully to what it is you're saying to us, and we will say yes. We will say yes because you are God and we are not. We will say yes because you love us more than we love us and we trust you. We will say yes because you give us a promise and promise to reward us for answering the call. And we will say yes because we want to live lives that have meaning and purpose and joy and love and adventure, and we're sick of living the same old lives. So God, would you help us to live lives worth watching. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.